from Paul's letter, 2 Timothy. As for me, I'm already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Join me now in prayer, please. Holy One, these are words of power, words of transcendent hope, words of joy, and words of promise. May they touch us in the center of our souls, that your life and our life in you might become one. Amen. Did you ever attend the reading of a will? I never did, except in those moments when I've tuned into mystery or picked up one of Agatha Christie's page turners. Well, this morning, in those words from Timothy, we attended the reading of a will or a memoir or a sort of life summary by the Apostle Paul a short time, some scholars say, before the Romans were to kill him. He was certainly under a death sentence. He was most probably in jail. And like a lot of people who know that their time is short, he manages to turn around and take a look at where he's been and then announces exactly where he believes he's headed. And he makes a little statement that I pray every single person in this life journey will be able to make at some point during their pilgrimage. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have run the race. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, I cannot imagine anything better or anything sweeter or anything more powerful than being able to come to the end of the line with a life affirmation like that one. That's coming to the end of life on a high note. That's truly claiming the crown of victory. And I guess my question for today is quite simple. How do you or I get to that point? How do we lay the foundation to build that sort of life? How do we live so that when we come to the end or to that point which our faith says is the real beginning, we can honestly say that we have fought the good fight and finished the race and kept the faith. And since I want to be able to look back over my life and figure it amounted to something, I really want to know how to do that, and I hope you do too. And so let me suggest three things for us to consider, and let me put these suggestions in the form of a question so that together we can think about it with one another later. First question, what fight are we in? If you want to be able to fight the good fight, you need to take a long look at what you're fighting for and what you invest your energy in and how you spend your time and your passion supporting that. And this is consecration Sunday question, I think. So let's ask it as individuals and as a congregation, what fight are we in? Now, as I look around, there's a lot of things folks seem to be willing to fight for. So-called Second Amendment rights seem to make some people crazy violent, Ideas about freedom based on fear make people willing to mob others. Lies seem to transition into accepted truth in the hands of clever politicians empowered by bad religion and dirty dollars. Am I the only one surprised almost daily at the creative depths of negativity? A wise friend suggested to me once, it's always important to choose your battles. And I have to tell you, I've got opinions on almost everything. Just ask me. Opinions that would probably alienate more people than I could convince. But let me suggest to you that fighting the good fight is not really about fighting, but about figuring out which of those daily struggles are good and loving and compassionate, and which actions and attitudes reflect the way of Jesus. If you want to fight, get mad. Put a nasty, profane flag in the back of your pickup truck and drive up and down College Avenue. Have you seen those lately? If you want to fight, smear those who disagree with you. If you want to fight, raise up the rabble and make a fuss and defend your turf. If you want to battle, organize the most selfish interests or the lowest common denominator of a bunch of fear-filled people, and you will surely make lots of headlines. It happens every day. If not in my backyard is the only fight I'm willing to fight, by the light of God's love, I'm in a truly sad spiritual state. On the other hand, if you want to fight the good fight, apply the gospel. Include self-sacrifice and some patience and some moral struggle. If you want to fight the good fight, tuck the story of the prodigal child and the Good Samaritan into the corner of your heart and look at the issues that come your way with a mixture of remembering that God loves us all no matter what. And because of that, we had better find a way to love others with some intensity and devotion, no matter their party, nationality, or color. It's not easy, but if you want to say you fought the good fight, make sure you're in a fight, a good fight, and not just a fight. Second, what race? What race? As a congregation and as individuals, are we running? Another great question, I think, for Consecration Sunday. There are a great number of races out there. I know that quite a few of you have starred in some very important races. New discoveries, new technologies, the expansion of scientific knowledge, new ways of understanding the human condition. This congregation is full of people of distinction. I think the challenge every single day, no matter where we are on the journey, is to determine which race we are running and to decide if that race is worth winning. The joy I feel when I hear some of your stories, it's amazing. I don't think I need to convince you that a great deal of life, though, is about busyness. All of us have things we need to do. All of us need to make a living. We have responsibilities to take care of. That's just a fact. But when those needs take over our lives and cause us to lose sight of why we are doing those things, I think we can suddenly find ourselves running not in the human race, but in the rat race. Let me share a story. There was a man in the community where we lived in Florida, who had a very successful career. Every year, he would buy thousands of new shoes for children. The entire county, the school system of the county, would reach out to this man with the names of children who needed shoes. And when you ask him why he did it, he would tell you that when he was a little boy, his parents couldn't afford shoes, and he was ashamed to go to school because he had to go to school barefoot. And then he'd get this big smile on his face. And he would simply tell you, all God's children need shoes. Now, that's a simple race. But that was a race that, by the grace of God, that man ran because it was a race worth winning. What race are we running? Now, let me make it clear, it's not a competitive race. It's not about wealth. It's not about spectacular results. It's about putting yourself out there somewhere to do something that leaves this corner of God's earth, however small, a bit better for your having passed that way. A couple of weeks ago, I showed up really early one morning at the church because I wanted to get some stuff done. And I discovered two members of this congregation painting the curbstones at the entrances with red paint to remind people that those entrances are not for parking, but are for emergency vehicles. They were doing something they could because it needed doing. They're not professional painters. Nobody hired them to do it. They did it because it needed doing. Is there some race you need to run? Are there things you need to do, however simple, maybe easy, but that need doing and that might set a pattern of behavior in your life toward the sort of miracle making that makes this race of life worth running? Third question, consecration question, what faith are we keeping? And here, I suppose that some of you who just don't know me very well would expect me to lay out a list of things you or I need to believe to be the keepers of the faith. Well, got to tell you, the longer I live, the shorter that list becomes. Keeping the faith is not about doctrine or about a list of rules. It's not about how many Bible verses I've memorized or how well I know what's between the covers of that book or how carefully I follow the tradition into which God placed me. When I meet Jesus, I do not expect to be quizzed over the tenets of the Nicene Creed. Or how precisely I taught the theology of Reformed Protestant Christianity. That's next Sunday, by the way, if you want to know about that. several years ago, at Charlie's brother's wedding, the priest, who was a person of beautiful and gentle faith, invited all the members of the bridal party during the rehearsal, whether they were Catholic or whether they were Protestant, to share communion as a beautiful affirmation of faith for a family that included Roman Catholics and Protestants. That was a plan, as he explained it, to the bridal party the night of the rehearsal. And when he went to serve the communion the next day to my Protestant sister-in-law, one of the members of his congregation came to his side at the communion table and whispered in a very large stage voice, "Father, she's not of the faith," to prevent her priest from making a terrible mistake and serving communion to a Protestant. The priest knew that faith is not a holy relic of the past. That gentleman knew that faith is not a shrine to what some other generation of people believe sacred, that faith has nothing to do with labels, that faith is loving, loving as Jesus loved. Faith is caring as Jesus cared. Faith is giving hungry persons the bread that they need or a place to stay. Keeping the faith is about living the faith any way you possibly can on your day-to-day journey. So then, let's take a look. Let's take a look in our lives, let's turn around and take a long look. Are we fighting the right fight? Are we running the best race? Are we keeping a faith that makes a difference? May the light of God's love in Jesus find a home and a heart in this congregation and in our loving. Amen.